All right. Hey, we worked on a little choreographed interpretive dance off the stage, so here we go.
But the cross
says
they're wrong. Don't believe the words they say. Let the truth wash them away. Cause his blood
says
you're loved. Every lie's bound to leave when there's nothing you believe but the cross.
Hey, big round of applause for Shirley. She was back there the whole time. Thank you, Shirley. I gotta be honest. I thought we lost Shirley a long time ago. That's great. That's great. So this word reclaimed, I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning that I think aren't really just men's retreat thoughts. These are people of God, the call to the church kind of thoughts. And this word reclaimed, it's kind of been a neat word. This hunk of wood, as referred to by a lot of the fellas, was kind of symbolic. Springer says that it says H-I-M in here in stained mold or mildew, whatever that is. And it's pretty impressive. But the word reclaimed really paints this picture of being restored, even reconciled. And one of the things that we talked about on retreat as we looked at some of these kind of imagery here in this messed up hunk of old beat up oak is this is a piece of wood that's been through a lot. It's been beat up. It's been damaged. It's been scratched. Some of it's been burnt. Some of it's had some rot and eaten away by the locusts and insects of this life. And yet God sees in it the beauty of what he placed at the core, a spark of someone made in his image that he longs to take and transform and reclaim for good and for his kingdom and for purpose and for meaning and for beauty. And while you didn't see a lot of that in our woodworking over the weekend, reclaimed wood is kind of a popular thing. And it tells a story a little bit. It's really a story of being restored to what once was, to be really reconciled and brought back into relationship when things have been ripped apart. It's even a picture, if you will, of resurrection, right? To be resurrected, to be brought back from death to life. And I know you're thinking, hey, resurrected, I remember. We're supposed to have like a to-be-continued sermon on that, right? A couple weeks ago. This is just a cheap way to use the word resurrected, so I could say I touched on it this week. Not coming, but just so you know, I didn't totally forget either. But God has called us to be people who are reclaimed by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the power of this God who loves us. Colossians 3 was our chapter, really, that we punched out and spent time in, and we really hung out there all weekend. And, you know, we started the weekend reading it, we ended the weekend reading it, we spent the weekend reading it, and I encourage guys this week to marinate in it. And you may think to yourself, Colossians, that sounds like a colossal passage. It is. So let's check it out. Colossians 3, 1 through 17 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, his holy and beloved people, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving every one of us, each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This section of Colossians, as Tracy so eloquently crafted on his block of wood, 3:1-17, is a colossal picture of what manhood and, in case you don't think it applies to you, womanhood. You do know, like, that's the deal, right? Like, God made man, and then he was like, wow, womanhood, right? That's how that worked. I'm sorry, I'm impressed with my wife, sorry. Colossians 3 is a colossal picture of what it looks like to be a godly man. What it looks like to be a godly woman. Now, I'll be honest, when we started unpacking this idea of compassion and kindness and gentleness and all these things, it did feel a little bit like we were on women's retreat. And then we backed up a little bit and began to see the picture that God's called men to live out and to lead in. We used this phrase, I used to be, but now. And we spent a lot of time thinking about the things and talking about the things that the world says we are and defines our reality, of the sin that so easily entangles, right? We used to be, Paul said it, right? We used to, formerly when we used to, we lived like this, right? But now we put to death. We put to death. Interesting statement. We do this all the time. We read the Bible and we're like, actually, I'm gonna put this down, I'm gonna get slivers. Sorry. We always read these passages and we always make this huge mistake of saying, the Holy Spirit's going to change all that stuff in me. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work of fixing everything in me. The Holy Spirit is going to do all this stuff. But if you look here in this sentence, and it looks like some English, and I'm not sure if that's like the subject or the predicate nominative. I don't even know what those words mean. But there's this word we in there. We are to put to death. We, you, me, we are to put to death things like sexual immorality, sexual impurities, lust, evil desires, greed, covetousness, idolatry. These are not instructions to the church to sit and watch God change all this in us. Now, don't get me wrong. God is at work and his power is at work. He brings conviction. He brings power. He sustains. But we have a responsibility to be people who act, right? We take action. We are to put to death. And part of that is defining what some of these things look like, right? You and I, we live in this world where sexual immorality, where wrong is right and right is wrong. Morality, what's right and what's wrong, is defined by God himself. And one day, we'll all answer for that. Scripture says no sexually immoral man or woman will enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, we don't like what it means, so we ignore it and we let the world define for us what's morality. But God's really clear about it. Sexual immorality is anything outside of the design and specific instruction of what God says sexuality is to be. We looked at the fact that sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, the first four of these things on the list all kind of tie to sexuality and what that looks like and how we navigate that. And let me encourage you guys that the reality is, I don't know how you read a newspaper. I don't know how you read a newspaper either. We won't have those anymore. But I don't know how you read like an app. I don't know how you watch the news. I don't know how you go to some site and pay attention to what's going on in the world around you without seeing rampant, sexually immoral, just rot and decay in our society. And what's really sad to me is then what happens is this. You start grading on the curve. You know what that means? Yeah, I do too. Now that I'm teaching. Prior, I just thought it sounded like a neat thing. But you basically take the best grades, and if they're all C's, you decide, okay, now a C is an A. So everybody who got a C got an A. Everybody who got a D got a B. All you F winners get C's. We're good to go. We just bump everything up. That's what we do in the church. As followers of Jesus, we say, we're not as bad as the world around us, and our version of purity is better than the world's, so we're getting A's. The problem is the grading scale God calls us to is not the world's grading scale. Not in anything. In greed, right? What's greed? Idolatry. The love of self, the love of material, the love of the created rather than the creator. Well, I'm not as greedy as that dude at my office. I'm only close to as greedy. So I'm passing the grade, right? We spent this weekend really staring clearly into the truth of God's word that says to us, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, you are to put those to death. You are. I am. It's my responsibility. When sexual immorality shows up, I put it to death. That requires some strategy. That requires some accountability. That requires some effort, some energy. We talked about the reality that this is a huge minefield and a battle zone. It's in combat. And you can choose not to fight if you want to, but then you die, right? That's how combat works. If you sit down and put your gun beside you and stare into the distance, you're gonna die. That's just combat. I think it's probably not even 101, right? It's just stupid. And yet, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, all these things that are rampant in our culture, as Christians, we're like, la, 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 or we ignore it, or we grade on a curve instead of just owning the call to walk in purity and chase after what God's called us to as his people. We're supposed to get rid of all this stuff, right? Rid yourself of, Colossians says, not just these, but also things like anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Now we're getting into some guy stuff. Anger. I mean, I was hoping to come out of this, you know, with one of those encouraging moments where you're like, God thinks it's cool to just blow up and yell at your kids and your wife. But it wasn't there anywhere. I looked through Colossians really hard. Doesn't exist. Well, you know what? Sometimes there's just nothing else to say but just drop these words, right? I mean, come on. I don't know. Seems like God's people who are called to walk faithfully with him are supposed to get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from our mouth. Seems like that's what the Bible says. And once again, maybe we do that grading on the curve thing, right? Well, I don't swear or I don't drop stuff as much as the guys that I work with. I'm way better than them. I'm not nearly as angry as the people I work with or the people I hang out with. Or you should meet my brother, right? That's not the scale. It's not the scale. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying to one another, right? We're supposed to get rid of that. We used to be. We used to be. That's normal, acceptable behavior for people in this world. Sexual immorality, lust, impurity, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, lying, filthy language. That's a normal day in 2023. It's a normal 10 minutes on YouTube, right? It's just normal. And somehow the church got the idea that God called people to follow Jesus and shine the light and just be like the world around them all the time. Not even close. How do we excuse that? I don't know. And quite honestly, that's why we spent a lot of time just sitting in this scripture, because we need to deal with the reality of, guys, there's no excuse. Ladies, there's no excuse. We can't excuse sexual immorality, lust, impurity, greed, idolatry. We can't excuse anger, rage, malice, slander, lying, filthy language. We can't excuse it. There's not an excuse. Well, it's just too hard. Well, it was tough, or man, you just don't know what it's like. There's no excuse. God's called us to live differently, right? We used to be, but now we put on compassion. We put on kindness. We put on humility. We put on gentleness. We put on my favorite, patience. This is an action, right? I don't know if you're like me or not, but when I decide what I'm going to wear, I take the shirt and I put it on. Oftentimes, I've stared at the shirt wondering if it would just jump on and slide on me and I'd just stand there. I mean, I watched George Jetson and that stuff, and that looks like the way I want to see it in the future. But for right now, I have to put on the shirt, right? It's an action I have to take. This is the picture in Colossians. This is the picture of the follower of Jesus Christ. We actively choose compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And maybe a shirt's a good illustration because we got to keep changing that thing out after it stinks, right? Let's keep rotating clothes. Let's keep putting more stuff on. Let's keep putting it on when it's appropriate and wear the right clothes for the right situation, for the right setting, for the right moments so that we can be effective to shine the light and stand in the midst of the world around us. This is a picture of what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. A mighty man of God, compassionate, kind, gentle, humble, patient. Kind of like didn't fit in our normal mindset either over the weekend. So don't feel bad if you're like, that doesn't sound like guy stuff. You don't see Rambo doing that, right? You don't. Actually, he's like 90. Never mind. That's a bad illustration. I don't know who else does it now. We're supposed to forgive as Christ forgave us. I love Jesus's trick, right? The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What does it mean? Every stinking day, he calls us to pray that we would forgive just as we forgive others. God's big on forgiveness. Bitterness, division, that's rot from the enemy. And followers of Jesus Christ forgive. They don't hold grudges. They keep no record of wrongs. Why? Because that's part of the definition of this thing that holds it all together called love, right? Love, the defining characteristic. Peace of Christ rules in us, and we are thankful and grateful, and it shows in how we act and speak and what we do. And speaking of what we do, this changes everything. Right? This changes everything I do. Because now, whatever I do, whatever, everything, this is an all-encompassing term, right? Everything means most things, some things, everything. There is nothing that's not part of everything. Keep that in mind. And God says, whatever we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn wrenches, not for our customers, we turn them for Jesus. We sell products, not for our customers or for our boss, but for Jesus. We offer services, we nurse, we take care of different things. Like, we do things for the Lord. Our work is for the Lord. Our actions are for the Lord. Our free time and the stuff we do, we're trying to honor him in the way that we live, in the way that we act. Everything that we do in the name of the Lord. We looked at a few key things over the weekend, like work, right? And you see some of these horrible penmanship things up here, but God's called us to produce and create just like our Heavenly Father, right? To provide and to work with purpose and meaning. Doesn't mean every job is like parties and rainbows, but it does mean that the things that we do have an impact and are significant and make a difference, and the world's different because we were present in the moments and the stuff that we did, right? It matters. We're working for him, not for ourselves. And we're providing, not just for our families, but for the world around us, right? And God himself worked. He worked 6 days and took a break. Work isn't evil or bad or terrible. It's good. It is good to work, to build, to create, produce. It's good. And when we don't do any of those things, something happens inside of us And as men, our self-worth begins to fade. We got to do some stuff. Now, that may change over the course of life with health and age and all those things, the volume, the intensity, the type of work that we do. But God's called us for impact and for purpose. And that shows up because of what Colossians calls us to be men who make an impact, right? We looked at work. We looked at sexuality. I won't get into that because that gets awkward in this room. But we talked a lot about how we walk through being somebody who experiences sexual relationship in this crazy world of ours. We talked about the purity stuff. We talked about building structures in our life to walk uprightly and keep our marriage bed pure and to walk before the Lord in a way that honors him. And man, we got to have people in our life and things in our life to help us navigate that in a world where we're under constant attack. But if everything we do is unto the Lord, it affects how we even do the sexuality stuff. And we talked about leadership. It's not all we talked about, a lot of stuff. Leading from the front, right? Where are those leaders who are on the horse with the sword leading the charge instead of sitting back in some office calling people and putting them at risk, right? We lead from the front and we're servant leaders who try to influence the world around us, right? All of those things because we have been reclaimed, that Jesus has laid claim to our life and we aim at the targets that he has laid out for us to strive for as men and as women called to follow him. Maybe you used to be. I know I used to be. We all used to be. But we got to live in the but now. Men and women who have been reclaimed, restored, reconciled to God, and then called to the ministry of reconciliation as though Christ were making his appeal through us as his ambassadors to the world around us. That is not a picture of a perfect group of people, not even close. But it's a picture of an authentic group of people who are humble, who are patient, who are kind, who are loving, and who navigate together this epic mission God's called us to. There's some cool things going on at White Rock. There's some cool things going on in the life of our church. And it's happening because individual people are making individual choices to fight and stand in the ground they've been called to fight and stand in. And it's encouraging other people to fight and stand. And it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. And pretty soon the world around us begins to look different. Not because of some epic external event, but because of the faithfulness and obedience of God's people. I want you to know that you might find yourself what feels like trapped in some of those spaces. And the distance between trapped and set free and reclaimed is one step. That's it. It's just a turning and walk in the other direction, right? That's what the biblical word repentance is, 180 degrees. I was going this way, I stopped, and I turned around. And that's what Jesus calls all of us to. And I don't know what areas in your life you might be battling and fighting. And I don't know who knows about some of the areas that you're battling or fighting. But I want you to know there's a whole stage of dudes up here who got real vulnerable and honest and teary and emotional with each other and real. And I promise you, if you walked up to any one of those guys in one of those shirts and said, hey man, I'm struggling with this area of my life, I can promise you they'd stop whatever they're doing and talk with you, try to encourage you, meet up, hang out, and try to empower you and help you and support you. Yep. Yeah. So we're not gonna close with like a big prayer on that. I just want you to know that's a step for you to take if you want to. And ladies, there's probably a lady around that might answer a question or be a helping hand that you reach out to. And if not, come find one of the guys in the shirts. Okay, yeah, let's stay with the ladies. That's probably safer and better.
The whole weekend coming up.
Ooh. Try to outdo our weekend, Jackie. Ooh. Oh. Where was the love and the gentleness, the kindness and the patience? Hey, I just love you guys. And I like being a church that's not weird, just real, you know? So we're going to pray and we're going to close. I want you to be encouraged by the truth of God's word and what he says and what he speaks over you. You're not part of this. If you weren't on the trip as a guy, you were thought about. And the relationship, we long for it together, all of us, and you matter. There is no like upper echelon or tier of quality at all, at all. You're loved, and you're an important part of this family. And going forward, I hope you're encouraged by the motion and the action of those around you as we try to live out what maybe we used to be, but not any longer, because now we're gonna walk in the power of the Spirit and try to be the people of God that he's called us to. Father, thank you for this morning and the chance to just pause, be encouraged and reminded for some of us what our weekend held, the things that you brought to mind and the things you challenged us with. And Lord, for those who didn't get to be a part of it, Lord, I hope that some of these truths and some of the power that you dropped on us over the weekend would just seep into the souls and the hearts of the folks here who didn't get to be a part of what you did last weekend. So thankful that you're not even interested in last weekend. You're interested in today and tomorrow and what's ahead. Not that it didn't matter, but that we're on mission and you're on mission. And God, I pray that you would empower us, embolden us, and strengthen us. Father, help us to keep the picture of what it looks like to be colossal men and women in your kingdom in front of us at all times. Bring these truths to mind that we might charge ahead in them. And God, as we do that, help us to be people who embody love and kindness and thankfulness and peace, gentleness, compassion towards one another. Everybody in this room has offended somebody. Everybody in this room has made mistakes. Everybody. We're not better than anybody else. But you're so good that you love us and you call us into relationship together and with you. So I pray that you would heal broken hearts, that you would heal issues that we might have, that you would restore us all in relationship in powerful ways, that the enemy would have no place for division, but instead your Spirit would charge your church forward. Lord, we love you. Thank you for reclaiming me. Thank you for reclaiming us. And thank you for calling us to the ministry of reclaiming others for the kingdom of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.